Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Diving In. And today, we are going to dive into a little bit more of a psychological subject. But first, if you guys notice, I'm a little bit red. And if you really can't tell, there are parts of me that are more pink than a monkey's butthole. That being said, it's not quite as a big of a deal. I mean, it's sunburn. If you're from the desert, you kind of get used to it. You kind of expect it. Although, I don't typically sunburn like this initially. Usually, I tan. So, something has shifted, most likely because I have not gotten a lot of sunlight. But, obviously, I am going off on a little bit of a different spree than intended, which is fine because there is like no scripts to the show at all. We just kind of go with the flow, put it all together in post, and make it beautiful for you. All that being said, guys, we're going to talk about social isolation. The psychological state of loneliness has a major effect on our overall physical health, and it often goes unrecognized. In fact, more often than not, people are not aware that they are lonely or that someone else they know is lonely. Loneliness causes us to deal with a heavy level of symptoms in our physical health, and this includes chronic migraines. Now, if you are dealing with chronic migraines and it just doesn't make sense, there could be a good chance that you are not sick and that you don't have any underlying health issues that could be causing migraines, at least not on a physical scale. It could be caused by your social life, whether it is a lack thereof, maybe it's too much negativity, not enough positivity or positive interactions. There's a huge amount of variables that social interaction can contribute to in your overall health, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So are you getting an adequate amount of social interaction, or are you dealing with spending more time alone and disconnected and not getting the social interaction that you need? Human beings, we're not meant to be alone, not forever. In small instances in which we can take that time to be alone, to process, to restore ourselves, that's great. That is something that we definitely need. But long-term, being alone can cause a dwindle in our overall physical and mental health. Again, long-term being alone, not necessarily a bad thing for everyone. There are going to be exceptions overall to that, but for the vast majority, being alone long-term, it is not good for you. And how do I know this, you might ask? Well, as I was finishing my master's in psychology at the University of Arizona Global Campus, one of my essays, in fact, my very last essay, my final essay for my master's degree program, involved research studying the effects that loneliness not only has on our physical health, but also on our mental health. So I'm going to kind of, in a lot of ways, summarize what I discovered during that research period, what was in that essay, to help you guys have a better understanding of what the true effect is of social isolation causing headaches and other health issues. Now, one of the things that we see in several different forms of research, whether it's about loneliness or other forms of health-related issues, whether, again, it's physical or mental, but most studies will tell you that too little or too much of anything, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, can have a positive or negative effect on us. Now, for example, too much sugar is going to have a negative effect on you, no matter how amazing it might taste in the moment. It's going to have a negative effect on you. It's going to cause you to develop fat. It's going to cause you to have a fogginess in the brain and all sorts of other physical health issues. But on the same token, the body does need some sugar in order to have functions. The fact is that we tend to have too much sugar in the way the culture is designed. The American diet is designed. It's too much sugar or things like carbohydrates that convert into sugar. Too much sugar, bad. The right amount of sugar, good. So that's we can take that in to the aspect of social interaction and loneliness. Too much free time may be as bad as too little. According to research, there may be both a positive or negative effect of having too much or too little time alone or with other people. The same can be said as another example, that there is a positive or negative effect of having too much or too little body fat. Again, this concept of too much and too little, it applies to every aspect of life. Now, the same question arises in the examination of the effects that being alone has on the cause of loneliness. Does being by yourself with no one else around cause the emotional feeling of loneliness if it is for too long or too much of it? Now, in doing this research for my essay, I focused on using some key resources throughout everything, including searching across the University of Arizona Global Campus Library, the NIH, which is the National Institute of Health, and using keywords for the focus that we had, which was loneliness, biological effect, cognitive development, health outcomes, connection, depression, anxiety, and alone. Those were the key words that were used. Now, if we take a look at the analysis of it, in 2020, a national survey was conducted on U.S.-based adults that showed that mental health issues have grown exponentially. As of 2019, 3 out of every 5 Americans reported feeling lonely, and in 2018, it was 7% lower. Further results from the survey state that 24% of Americans believe that they have fair or poor overall mental health. In 2018, the overall rating of mental health was at 81%, having dropped to 76%. Now, that's just crazy, guys. That the fact that in a very short period of time, our mental health foundation has dropped significantly from 81% to 76%, it tells you that something is wrong. Something is not happening right, because you factor in. So if it was in, in 2018, the overall rating was at 81%. And as of further results in 2020, it's dropped to 76%. That was only 3 years ago, guys. So you figure at that rate, we are losing a significant amount of mental health stability. That means that in a 3-year period of time, our overall mental health statistically dropped by 5%. Our foundation of mental health has dropped by 5% within a 2-year time period, if we go from 2018 to 2020, which means that in theory, it's 2023 now, we're about halfway through, but we'll just round it to 2023. That means that we will have gone through another 7.5%, if I'm doing the math right in my head, another 7.5% drop in overall mental health foundation. That is alarming, because that would mean we would have gone from below 70% at this point, if we're keeping at that rate, assuming that it hasn't slowed down and assuming that it hasn't accelerated at all. That's still a lot, guys. Losing our mental health at any rate is just terrifying, especially because, like, you take a look at today's world and what's going on, it honestly doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't surprise me that we are having all of these issues and all of these not only physical health problems, but just life problems in general. But that's a whole nother topic. We're focusing on the loneliness here. So social interaction and relationships and social support have been determined to be key factors of loneliness in America and play a huge part in poor physical and mental health, causing a lack of healthy balance in an individual's day-to-day life, including at home, work, and school, as well as with extracurricular activities or a lack thereof. Now, a lot of questions need to be considered when looking at all this. When you're looking at the loneliness or the cause of loneliness in an individual's life, is it rooted in a foundation of physical or mental health alone? Is the cause of loneliness caused by multiple variables such as physical health, mental health, relationships, food and beverages that are being consumed, spiritual influences? Our physical and mental health are intertwined with one another. And if you don't understand the brain-to-gut connection, that is something that we are going to discuss at some point. But a basic understanding is this. If you are consuming something that your body needs to get rid of, that your body is not happy with, it is going to affect your brain, because it puts your body into a freak out state where it's like, okay, we need to dump this. We need to get rid of this right away, right now. It's too much of it, or it's just bad altogether. And that is where you see a lot of things like a brain fog factor in, or it's upset stomach, heartburn, stuff like that. All of that can be triggered by the consumption of something wrong. Now, that applies to food and beverages, but that also applies to something like social interaction. You think about the example that people use all the time. You look at how people say that if they are watching news consistently, that the majority of the news stories that are shown are mostly negative. There's very little positive. And I worked in a television station, a news station locally, for a couple of years. And I hated working the morning news, especially because we went through 2.5 hours of broadcasting news stories. More often than not, it was the same news stories with slight variations to them over and over again. But out of that 2.5 hours, maybe 5 to 10 minutes at the most focused on something positive, while everything else is usually based on something that was political or criminal or just some form of negativity. Very rarely was there any form of positive. Now, if you understand how the conscious and the subconscious work, the subconscious brain, if you are feeding it something negative, it is going to be stuck in a negative form. It is going to not be able to truly take care of your body, because that's what happens. The conscious part of your brain is what's bringing in all that data. It's what's processing everything. The subconscious is a part of where it is stored. So like, for example, if you are speaking negatively about yourself, what happens? Usually you end up in some form of sadness, depression, maybe dealing with some anxiety, something like that, because you are applying negativity to yourself. But if you're speaking positively, if you're encouraging yourself, if you are making bold declarations in a positive form about yourself, what happens? Usually your motivation goes up, you feel more inspired, you feel like you have the energy, like you can go, you can knock out whatever you need to knock out. It's the same with everything else around us. If we are not controlling what is being said or what is being influenced to us around us, it's gonna have the same negative effect if it's something negative. And like I said, I just use the news as an example. Who influences your life as well? Are the people around you or the workplace that you're in, is there some sort of negative influence that is causing problems for you? How does that make you feel? What is the overall result? All things that we can dive deeper into at some point to make a better change overall. Now, something further that we need to understand is how, like we said before, our physical and mental health are intertwined with one another. For example, if we are unhappy about our physical figure, we can feel as though we will not fit in or that we may be judged for our appearance, which can cause emotional responses such as sadness, frustration, anger, disappointment, and cause us to disconnect and lack in social interaction, even if we are surrounded by people, and cause the feeling of loneliness because we are at a high level of quality in ourselves. And by high level of quality means that we are knocking ourselves out even if we're surrounded by other individuals. So here's an example for this. And I just had this conversation with someone earlier today. It was last night. So during the work week, we had an employee appreciation event. We ended up going to a club, like a golf course club. We hung out by the pool. We were just relaxing. Now, when I got there, I was initially dressed in a t-shirt like I am now. T-shirt, shorts. I was comfortable with where I'm at. Now, I am overweight. I still am. I've come a long way. Used to weigh 410 pounds. Have come a long way in getting myself better. Still have a long way to go. So still not always 100% confident in my own self-image. Nothing wrong with that. It's what you do with that. But in this case, going to the pool and everything, you know, a lot of the guys, especially the really well-shaped guys, you know, they're taking their t-shirt off, jumping in the pool, no big deal. For me, I had to take it a step back. Most of the time, I'm wearing a tank top shirt underneath a t-shirt, or I just have a tank top with me. But even then, I'm not very comfortable with wearing a tank top around other people. Usually, it was one of those, like, I use it as, like, a sweatshirt, and, like, as literally, like, it helps collect sweat throughout the day, or as a buffer, like, if I have my holster and I'm carrying my sidearm, stuff like that. But I didn't want to just wear a t-shirt out in the sun. Like, I wanted to take that opportunity to be able to get some sunlight, tan up some, or in my case, burn myself more. And I want to be able to just do that. But there was that confidence issue. And it's something that I've been aware of for some time, that I was dealing with some confidence issues in this area. So I had to talk to myself. I had to be like, okay, you need to get over yourself. Stop worrying about what everyone else thinks around you and just take your freaking t-shirt off and enjoy your day. And so that's what I did. I went in the locker room, dropped my stuff in a locker, and wore nothing but the tank top and shorts for the rest of the day. And I'll be honest, it felt pretty good. After the first few minutes of that awkward feeling of everything, I was kind of over everything. I was able to enjoy the rest of my day. The same is true with this. If we do not feel good about ourselves, we have to choose what we're going to do with that. Now, in my case, I chose to step out of my comfort zone, and I'm choosing to do stuff to better myself. One of the meetings I had today was discussing how I can do that better by somebody who has been in similar situations as I, who has experience. In other words, guys, it's important to surround yourselves with other people who are either one, positive influences, two, have been in similar places as you, or three, are already somewhere where you want to be able to go and achieve, whether it's in your health, your career, relationships, whatever it is, and be able to be surrounded by them and learn from them and let them be a counterpoint or a holding point for you to make progress in your own life. Don't surround yourself with a bunch of negative individuals. That's just going to cause all sorts of chaos and issues and make things even more difficult for you. So the feeling of loneliness isn't always about just being alone. It can be caused by our physical health and throw us into a deep state of depression, anxiety, nervousness. Or another example of the biological aspect that could lead to loneliness is the feeling of sickness or discomfort that one may be dealing with because of a major disconnect socially due to lack of control or dealing with the physical illness, mental illness, or whatever it is that limits you. Maybe you have a work schedule that makes it feel impossible to be able to go and do anything socially. That can play a huge factor into making you uncomfortable and dealing with things like depression, anxiety, loneliness, sadness, all of that. Now, another thing that can be a trigger with dealing with loneliness is that cognitively, an individual's emotional standing can be affected by situational cues and the environment in which they are commonly located. And as an example, a place of employment in which an individual has a very aggressive or judgmental employer may cause more of an emotional disconnect that leads to a state of loneliness because of the subconscious desire to not end up in more conflict or confrontation with their boss. Another thing that loneliness can cause: lack of development, and an increase in development causes a shift of one's emotional state and can lead to both an increase as well as decrease in loneliness, depending on what all of the variable factors are there. Having the ability to better understand others can play a major part in influencing one's ability to improve their ability to socially interact because of their expansive knowledge, opening the opportunity for more social interaction in conversations. The expanse and like-mindedness of information can lead to a better quality in friendship, increased depth of conversation, where a lack of these mutual understandings and knowledge can lead to more of a social disconnect. So, being lonely can be caused by a lack of knowledge, but it can also be solved by an increase in knowledge. Again, there are so many different variables to when it comes to being lonely, that at the end of the day, like any other problem that we're dealing with physically, emotionally, or spiritually, we have to be willing to do the investigative work to figure out, okay, what is causing me to get there? And that's something really important. You guys have to not only acknowledge where you are, but also acknowledge that you got to figure out how you got there. How did you get there? Was it your own doing? Was it the doing of others that you fell into? Were you raised in a specific way that led you to this place? There are so many variables. And so, guys, it's going to be really important to make that shift for yourself. And you have to be able to recognize and acknowledge it first. And that is my goal in partially in doing this episode, but also just in this podcast in general, is to help raise awareness of the things that we're facing with and dealing with in order to get a better idea of how we can, for ourselves, solve it, because there is no one size fits all solution to what we're dealing with. At the end of the day, you have to be willing to kind of go and try to figure it out for yourself. Now, if you guys want a really good example of the ideal way to deal with your own problems, I strongly recommend you check out Badass Counseling. You can go to the website badasscounseling.com. Sven Erlinson is the main counselor, or is the counselor for Badass Counseling, and he does it definitely from a spiritual perspective, but not at the same time. Go on, listen to his podcast, read some of his books. He has done some great, amazing work. And if you listen to his podcast and you see some of the examples of what he has done, as well as just be able to really get an idea of how you need to approach your own issues, like literally just listening to his podcast that is 100% free can get you started. You can always work with him too, or work with other counselors that maybe have a similar idea of everything. What I'm saying is go check out Badass Counseling. They are a great source for getting started and figuring out what your needs are. And I'll leave it at that. I think you guys, that's your homework from this podcast. Go check out Badass Counseling. Because like I said, everyone's got different problems. Everyone has different variables as to how those problems started or what caused those problems or what needs to be addressed for those problems. Sven does a really good job in helping build that foundation for figuring it out. BadassCounseling.com. Check it out. So overall, we know that loneliness is an issue. It affects us cognitively. It affects us developmentally. It affects us physically, mentally, spiritually, all of it. Overall, an individual's physical and mental health are greatly affected when dealing with the reaction in which the body takes in being lonely emotionally. Being alone short-term has its positive outcomes in increasing focus, productivity, and even an element of restoration through long-term being alone. Or rather, though long-term being alone has also seen a lot of commonly negative effects, because it goes against the human nature. It does. We are not meant to be alone for long. If we were meant to be alone for long, God never would have created Eve. Because honestly, it was because Adam was alone that he made Eve. All that being said, throughout review of the research that I did for this essay, it was found that most of the research viewed that loneliness influences our physical and mental health throughout different domains and at different levels of effect. Because of the consistency of overall research results provided by each piece of research, it has been defined that overall, the research is reliable and valid and has the same generalization to it. Basically, what I'm saying, guys, is that the research is there. The data is there. And one of the things I will do is I will provide this article for you guys to be able to read, or this essay, rather, for you guys to be able to read and kind of get an idea of what all the information is saying. It'll also have all the references that is used for the research. But the whole idea, guys, is this. Being alone, being lonely, is not healthy. And yes, it's going to be caused by a lot of different aspects in life, a lot of different variables. And that's why I emphasize the need for you to really examine your own life and figure out what is causing you to get to this point. What is causing you to be lonely? And again, there is no perfect answer to that question because it's going to be different for everybody. Just as I have dealt with loneliness myself, it wasn't necessarily because I wasn't around other people, but because of other issues that I was dealing with from a jealousy standpoint. I was very jealous of many of my friends for a long time, and them being in relationships. Being someone who has been single for 30 years, roughly. I mean, I've gone on a couple dates, but that's a whole nother thing. But the majority of my friends are married. The majority of my friends are married. They have families. They are doing great. For a very long time, I dealt with a lot of jealousy in that. And if I'm 100% honest, I can't say necessarily that the jealousy has 100% gone away, because it is something that I desire and that I want. But it is not because I'm not able to have a family, or rather, think about how I want to say this. It's not because I'm not meant to have a family someday. I believe it is. I believe someday I will have a family. It's because I'm not ready. And everyone can be like, oh, well, you're never ready. Well, that is true. You were never truly ready for having a family of your own, having a wife, having kids, all that fun. We're never truly 100% ready for that. But I believe that there is a solid foundational state that we do need to be in order to take on such a responsibility and hold ourselves accountable for it. And it goes back to something I stated in the last podcast, that our boss at work talks about a lot: mind, muscle, and money. If we don't have a solid foundation as men in those three things, how can we expect to take care of somebody else when we're not even taking care of ourselves? If we don't have the mind to work through the grind, to work through the hard stuff that we have to be able to make decisions on, that we need to be able to defend our family on, if we don't have the muscle to be able to do the hard work, whether it is physical labor, whether it is being able to maintain and keep up on stuff that needs to be done around the house, whether or not it's something like having to physically defend yourself or your family from somebody who is causing a life threat. And the third thing is money. Money is not going to buy happiness. It's not. You can have all the money in the world and be the most depressed individual ever. But money will help give you a solid foundation for the provision of life. Money will help you have a lot more patience, or not even patience, but just be more relaxed, less stressed in life if handled properly. And money is going to bring you the opportunity to have a lot more fun, be able to be more relaxed, be able to appropriately bless others, whether it's your family members, friends, people you don't even know, whatever it is, money helps create a solid foundation for your life. Mind, muscle, money, guys. That's what it takes. You have those three things, have a solid foundation, because you're never truly done developing those three things. And that's something that came up in the conversation I had earlier today. We are not, and I love the point that he made. We are not meant to achieve a goal and stop doing the hard work. No, that is not what we are meant to do. Because the moment you stop, everything that you work so hard for is going to dwindle away. It's like the example that he used. I'll give you two examples. The example that he used was, if we are pushing and pushing and pushing to win the attraction to a woman, or that they would desire us, and all of a sudden we get married and boom, we stop doing all that stuff. We stop buying them flowers. We stop giving them gifts. We stop flirting with, being flirtatious with them, whatever it is. Well, the quality of that relationship just dropped significantly, because the selling points that you made no longer exist, because you feel like, well, you've accomplished it. You don't need to do that stuff anymore. It's a little bullshit. And that's coming from a guy who, like I said, very little experience when it comes to a relationship. Second example, though, that makes sense is your body. If you're working out, do you think that you can just stop working out once you hit your goal of being either at a certain weight or a certain muscular structure or whatever it is? Because it's a lie. It's not true. Take example, I've been working out doing muscle lifting. I actually have to take a few days off from doing it because I aggravated my rotator cuffs. Not fun, by the way. Kind of hurts like hell at times. But I have to take a small break. But that's going to mean that I'm going to have to do things to help re-maintain everything when I am able to start working out again. Because the muscles that I'm building right now, the fat that I am losing, it's going to be faster to lose those muscles and rebuild the fat than it is to build the muscles and lose the fat. Because that's how life works. If you're not willing to do the work to maintain your physical health is going to dwindle and shut down quickly. Take it from the guy who spent 2 weeks in a coma. In that time that I was in the coma, I lost, I believe it was roughly 75 pounds, but it was not in fat. I did not lose 75 pounds of fat. I lost 75 pounds in muscle. Guys, my arms used to be significantly bigger and muscular than this. Now, they started losing all of that muscle before I ended up in the coma, like significantly before. I was not taking care of myself. I was not maintaining myself well. But it really dropped when I hit the worst part of my life with my health. Now, two things can be said. One, part of me ending up in that coma and dealing with the worst of health things at the time was definitely partially my fault. I could have fought more to give my body the opportunity to hold back from hitting that point a lot more. But the second thing is that sometimes we are hit with things that are unexpected, that we don't have control over, and you can't fight those things if you are not ready, prepared, and trained to do so. So guys, whatever it is that you are working on in life, you got to be willing to do the hard work all the time. And that's not just in your work, your family, your relationships. There's literally no aspect of life in which we are not needing to constantly work nonstop all the time. To finish off with the focus on loneliness, I want to tell you a little bit about a research case study that I saw, where it is about an individual. It was an older individual, and by older, I mean someone probably in their 70s or 80s, in that rough area. And they lost everyone from their generation of growing up. Their best friends had all passed away at their older age. Their significant other was gone. Their kids had moved on to other things. And they had they were struggling. They were very lonely. Now, in today's world, we have had a lot of new technologies, a lot of new stories. In this case, we're talking about books. For books, you have your classical books, your novels, your poetry, all of that stuff. Now, you still have those things in modern terms today, but it's a very different style. This individual who had lost everyone, who was dealing with loneliness, their coping mechanism was not to buy new books. It was not to buy new technology, new stories, whatever it was. Their coping mechanism was to go back to that which they knew already made them happy. The moral of this, guys, is that if we're not always striving for something new, if we're not always striving to grow, to expand on ourselves, at some point we will revert back to the old. And it's like I said before, if you're not willing to maintain your body with working out, at some point you're going to lose the muscle and just rebuild the fat again. I've known people who have gone through those ups and downs where they got really well built, great shape, and then they went through a season where they weren't taking care of their bodies, they weren't working out, and all of a sudden they went right back to where they were. They were chubby, they lost all of their muscle, they were unhealthy again. And then I've seen them go and they rebuild themselves again, get back into that great muscular, you know, build and everything. But then again, they fall off the bandwagon, they stop maintaining their life, and end up right back where they started. Guys, you're going to want to maintain your life. You're going to want to maintain your life in such a way that you never fall back. You never fall back unless you're dead. And I realize that sounds kind of brutal, but let's be honest, guys. Our life is never over until we're dead. I personally never see the purpose of retirement, because more often than not, people who retire and retire by today's standards of just being able to sit back, watch TV, not do anything with their lives, they usually die quicker than anyone else. They die quicker, they die younger, and oftentimes they die unhappier. So guys, the moral story, yes, loneliness can affect your physical and mental health, but you control what that does for you. Bigger moral of the story, since we kind of went off a little bit from the loneliness aspect, but loneliness was a great example, you are going to want to constantly maintain your life. And what that looks like, again, is for you to figure out what is your desire for your life and how can you maintain it, or what do you need to do in order to maintain it to keep it there. So guys, thank you for listening into this week's Diving In podcast. I appreciate everyone's support through everything. I especially appreciate the support of some individuals who I am excited to hopefully have on in the next few weeks that have been very supportive of getting the podcast relaunched. Dexter is a part of that, although he just likes to sneak in and out. You know, he thinks he's something big. But no, thank you for all the love, all the support. I love getting to interact with everybody. If you guys see content from the podcast or just other content that I create and post across social media, I love being able to read the comments. I love being able to interact with them as much as I can and really get other people's perspectives, because I am certainly not perfect, never will be. Always like to hear other perspectives, other ideas, other options. So guys, I will see you guys on the next podcast episode. You guys have a great week, and remember, maintain your life. What that looks like is up to you.